Passos, who is going to talk with us about optimal designs for one and two color arrays using mixed models. Once we don the microphone, of course. It's on.
Do I need it? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
They need it to record this.
Okay.
So.
Just pin it on your collar.
Look at your collar or your badge holder.
I don't see what pin it. Just use the PC where I can do that. Oh, yeah, that's it. Right. This is the object of my attention, I would say subject of my affection, a comparative evaluation of one and two color microarray experiments and co-authors or collaborators from the Department of Methodology and Statistics in Maastricht. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that all the people who talked to you about microarray experiments, they must have taken for granted that all of you know what they are and what's the difference between the one color and two color. So I think that by now you know that, but just in case, because I'm talking about the comparison, I'd rather work with this one. They talked all the time about the two color microarray, where you have two different samples, we get different colors, and they are co-hybridized in one array. In the one color microarray, it's just one sample, one array. So here you would have basically two subjects, and then what you are measuring is the differential gene expression between two groups, and here it's just one group. Two colors, one color, right? And what you see that the current situation, there are, if you Google or in the literature, there are some comparisons between one and two color microarrays. Before 2004, the situation was a kind of a Jeeves array. Since then, things seem to be converging to comparability and equivalence in the results that they get. So these are some of them are just PowerPoint presentations. I want to point out above all the paper from 2006 from Patterson, where he shows more or less that the quality of data stemming from the one and two color microarrays are equivalent in terms of reproducibility, sensitivity, accuracy, and specificity. And they are highly concordant regarding detection of differentially expressed genes. Now, the reason is that if they are indeed concordant and equivalent, so which one should you use then, the one color or two color? Again, opinions diverge or sometimes converge. So Hardman says that the choice of the platform, and I'm using here the word platform, whether it's one or dual channel, not the manufacturer, right? Should be guided by the content on that platform and the amount of RNA available for experimentation. So in the homepage of Agilent Technologies, you say both of them deserve a place under the sun. The one provides much quicker analysis, more efficient method for analyzing a large number of samples, and especially those that span long time frames. Whereas the two color provide the most accurate results, helping identifying small incremental changes, and then it again is a basis for further investigation. And last but not least, Patterson in his paper, 2006, he concluded that the decision to use, sorry, that's a mistake here, a one or two color microarrays will be determined by cost, experimental design considerations, and personal preference, which is slightly contradictory with another statement where he says the platform type should not be considered a primary factor in decisions regarding experimental microarray designs. So given this situation, and I dare ask, which one would you prefer? Most of the time people begin the talk thanking the organizer for the, I don't know if I should thank them to throw me into the lions here, but maybe I should ask the practitioners what their, is the preference, but you can tell me later on. My approach is comparing the two of them from an optimal design perspective, right? One or two. And you must have noticed that most of the papers, the presentations in here, and that's reflected in the literature as well, they are directed to two-color microarray experiments, the designs, where the design questions are more complex, where above all, when the number of biological groups to be compared is large, right? So the majority of them is based on fixed effect models. There are a few of them, but also directed to two-color microarray with mixed effect models. Now, so considering a mixed model approach, I would like to ask, is the choice of the platform an important design issue? And if it is, right, if there is, what's exactly the impact of the platform on the precision of the model parameters, and if there is any financial implication? So to do so, which are the design issues at stake here? Well, we've seen that even before the sample gets to the microarray, there are a lot of design problems. And we've seen Keith, what's your surname? Bagley? Presentation, Terry Speed. And I was telling to him his blood sample. And the situation is kind of bloody hopeless, right? So the two-color is, what is, and there is as well the question of deciding how many biological replicates as against technical replicates. So, but the question that I will be interested is, above all here, we are going to start, well, I'm comparing one or two colors microarray. You might be thinking I'm comparing apples with pears. And that's indeed what I'm doing, I'm afraid. And to do so, I need some strong assumptions, right? Well, one of my assumptions is that's the design measure is defined by the supporting or design points and the associated weight vectors, which are assigned to the design points. In a two-color microarray, the design points are given by pairwise combinations of samples, whereas in the one-color microarray, they are the samples themselves. So it's actually immaterial in a one-color microarray to ask which are the design points you are going to choose, because the inclusion of the biological groups are grounded on the research questions. But in the two-color microarrays, if you have six, nine samples, not all pairwise combinations are going to be selected for the optimal design. Now, since they are not directly comparable, how am I going to achieve a kind of equivalence in there? And for the moment, I just want to put you that on hold, right? Before that, let's get to my assumptions or the space where I'm going to be moving. For the one-color microarray, the log of the absolute fluorescent intensity is measured as a function of the fixed effect biological parameter representing the biological condition, and the U is the random intercept representing the subject-specific variation from the group mean in an arrow term. Right, for the two-color, is a ratio of the two intensities, green and red, the log of the ratio. And then you have here the fixed effect as a differential gene expression. It's no longer an absolute measure, and a random intercept parameter. The all assumptions of homogeneity of variances and homogeneity of error variances and independence apply in both cases. So in this sense, you see that the models that I'm trying to define, they are on the same scale, and the other assumptions, I mean, both of you, or all of you more or less, use these assumptions as well. Now, the covariance structure, since I'm taking technical replicate in biological replicates, I'm holding them constant, and for the further examples, they are all two technical replicates. It means that the one-color microarray, each subject is measured twice, and in the two-color microarray, each pairwise combination with identical pairs is measured twice. Of course, well, again, usually you try to swap with subjects when you are doing the pairwise, but this is the reason for that. The covariance structure is then that I want to have a block diagonal compound symmetric covariance of the outcome measurements. So this will be each block in V for the one color microarray, and this will be for the two color microarray. So if I do the dye swap with different subjects, not identical pairs, this block diagonal structure will be lost. And in this case, this is the information matrix, the V matrix is not equal as the sum of the little ones. No, each point with this block and the weight associated with it. And why I'm using that? Because I'm using a sequential search for the optimal design. And it's based on this information matrix. It's plenty of time. Further premises, I'm using actually exactly the same contrasts that you used in my matrix SSL with minus 1, 1. And for the examples I'm going to give, there are models based on first order interaction and simple effects, and another one in main effects. Optimality criteria, they are actually not A and D officially because I'm using the reduced information matrix, but for simplicity, we'll call the determinant and trace of that's the information matrix, the inverse in the multiplied by the contrasts. And to find the optimal designs, I am using a sequential search written by myself, an algorithm, which gives me an approximate design. And in order to find an exact design, which might not be the optimal, right, I just round up and down to the closest integer. Well, for a certain number of arrays, I multiply the weight vector, not the design measure as such, but the weight vector of the design measure. And to compare the one and two color arrays, I just use the relative efficiency concept. In this case, it's when I'm using the determinant criterion. Cost functions, since the microarrays are everything but cheap, so it might be worth as well as evaluating the cost of one and two color microarrays. And for every single experimental group, the cost is given by the cost for each subject, the number of times of subjects present in the group, plus the number of times of I'm using the array, the time of replications of this array, and the cost of each array. It's just a formula for mixed model levels when you have two levels in general. Let's recapitulate before I present my results, right? What are the assumptions, some of them limitations of my study? I run comparability between the inferred assessment between the two platforms. I had model parameters and contrast defined on the same scale. The number of technical replicates was held constant, and the search of optimal design focused on the distribution of biological replicates. Homogeneity of biological variances of experimental groups, as well as independence and homogeneity of residual error variance, were assumed to hold. Variance components was restricted to the random intercept model with compound symmetric block diagonal covariance matrix, right? Again, dye swap at the technical level of, level of technical replicate. And subject's price was constant of all biological groups, and the one and two colors arrays were assumed to have the same price. The results are given by the 3x3 factorial experiment because the kinds of a compromise, usually optimal designs for a smaller number of biological groups are almost straightforward. And the larger number of groups, the optimal design gets so convoluted and complicated that it will overshadow the one-two color comparison here. So the results, can you see the table a little bit, the little numbers? We are not going to spend much of the time in the table. What I want to see, so I have here the design points. That's for the two color, 9 samples, 3x3. The indexes are formulated to represent the level and the factors of the factors and the levels factors in the combination. One, there are in total 36. My algorithm gave me an approximate design with a distribution of weights, and I multiplied by a desired number of arrays to obtain the exact design. And that I did that for models with interaction, for main effects, for the A criterion, and the same thing for the D criterion. And at the end is the number of arrays used and the number of subjects required. Notice that for the two-color arrays, assuming that for each new biological replication I need two new subjects, I'll have double as many subjects in this case. In this case, then number of arrays. And in the end, the optimality functions, right? The trace or the determinant at this side. Since there are several of them, I'll take the example of the D-optimal design for main effects. And let's visualize it. That can be given as a probability mass function, where you have on the x-axis all the design points, the pairwise combinations, and on the y-axis the weight distribution. You note that my sequential search is independent from the number of the arrays, and I can multiply it to find the distribution of arrays. And usually, two-color microarrays are represented by directed graph. In this case, it's undirected because dye swap is made at the technical level, and it's not represented here. So what we have here, the optimal design for a D-optimal design for main effects, you have closed circles of three groups, and each level of a factor are all represented in these little loops. For the same thing, the same search can be done for the one-color microarray, and that's the distribution that I get. So a completely balanced distribution of these are the design points of the samples. So you can translate it in terms of how many subjects should be allocated to the groups, right? So if I have 36 subjects divided by 9 groups, I'll have done 36 divided by 9 is 4, right? 4 subjects by group, that will give me. So how is that the subjects, two groups allocation will be for the two-color microarray? So and that's what I'm trying to reach, the equivalence, the comparability, right? If I go back to the sample, if you see here, there are 8 design points involving the sample 1-1. From these 8 design points, the optimal search selected 4, each 4 with weight 2. So I'll have how many subjects? I'll have 8 subjects allocated to sample 1. So if I do the same thing for the sample 2, I have as well 5 design points out of the 8 involving the sample 1-2, but this time 3 with weight 1 and 1 with weight 2. So I'll have 5 subjects allocated for the model, about A optimal design for the model with interactions. So if I go up further to a table where I have 1 and 2 color designs together, I have then the groups. And here is the subject to groups allocation for a certain number of arrays and a certain number of subjects. Well, let's look at the first part here. You see here again, for the 1-1, I had 8 subjects. For 1-2, 5 subjects, and so forth. I did all for all groups. Now, and what you see as well is that for most of the case, you have a relatively balanced subjects to group of the allocations of subjects, above all for the D-optimal design. It's slightly different, it's unbalanced for the A-optimal design for models involving interactions. But even though the pattern of allocation was similar between the 1 and 2 color arrays, and I find a quite agreeable result, I have to admit. Besides, what you have here is the optimality function. Once you have, when I am holding the number of subjects more or less constant, they differ because of the rounding off. Yeah, and you have the two colors have less arrays in the one color. And here is the opposite. Here I am trying to hold the number of arrays constant, and I'm varying the number of subjects. So two different situations. Of course, here, with less arrays, the one color design is going to be more efficient, and here is the opposite. How to measure the loss and efficiency exactly via the relative efficiency. An efficiency comparison, what I have here, is a case where I keep the number of subjects constant and vary the number of arrays. The one color arrays, which has double as many arrays, is more efficient, and the loss in efficiency for the two colors is about 30%. So relative efficiency in practice is often translated as the number of extra observations the less optimal design would require to achieve the same efficiency as the best design. So what I did then is that here the one optimal one color is better. I said how many extra observations the two color would require to achieve the same efficiency. I added them, and then I have a relative efficiency around 1. And the same was done for the case in that I had different number of subjects, but the same of arrays. In this case here, the two color is more efficient, and how many observations were required to achieve the same efficiency. Why did I do so? To see how costly they were. In the first case here, with the same number of subjects and different number of arrays, where the one color is more efficient, it is, of course, more expensive. And that's the difference in terms and for different ratios of subject to pair of arrays. The price was taken from Cuyo and Churchill, if I'm not mistaken. Right. So that's cost the subject cost 15 euros and 600 the pair of arrays. In all cases, for all models, it is more expensive, the one color. All these prices are given at cost of a one color minus the cost of two color. In the second case, where the two color is more efficient, I have the opposite, right? I have the two color being relatively more expensive. Again, the difference is given as 1 minus 2. Where is it? All right. 1 minus 2, sorry. That's it. But what you see here, let's take, for instance, the ratio where the two subjects are much cheaper than arrays. So what pays off to have, in this case, this is the extra cost that you're going to have compared to this one when the one color is more efficient. So I can't spend, the difference is in less than 1,000. Here is in the 10,000s, 20,000s, right? So if the subject is much cheaper than arrays, it's better to have the two color than the one color. But if you have the other situation where the subject is much more expensive than the array, and that's the case for knockout genes, I suppose, so by the same reasoning, the situation reversed, right? Well, it's much better to pay in the 10,000 than in the 20s difference. The same comparison can be done, but this time adjusting for efficiency when I added the extra observations. Right? And here you have again the same table. This time here is the efficiency. Well, one and two color arrays have the same efficiency, but here after adding extra observations to the two color arrays, the one color remains still more expensive, although they have the same efficiency. Okay? And here I added extra observations to the one color array. The two color remains still more expensive. But you see, for the different ratios, you'd have different conclusions. So in summarizing, this means that if you want to choose between one color and two color array, you have to pay attention to the ratio between subject and array. So, well, final remarks. Optimal allocation of subjects to experimental groups is much concordant between the one and two color arrays. Well, that's as far as it's going, and this is concordant with what Patterson says, that it doesn't matter which one you choose. The subject group's allocation should be the same. But by varying the number of subjects and arrays while holding statistical efficiency constant, the choice of 1 over 2 or vice versa is going to be determined by the subject to arrays cost ratio. On the grounds of statistical efficiency alone here, right, and under the condition of the acquisition of arrays is far more expensive than that of subjects, you should give the two-caller precedence over the one-caller. If the cost ratio is reversed, then the preference is changed also. That's it.
We have a few minutes for questions.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
In the beginning, I got lost with your models.
Okay, let's go there.
Concerning the two-color arrays.
Right. I'll be there. Yes.
So you have some random effects for the arrays, I guess.
No, the array is not in the model at all. Because once you take an array to be is a random factor, it's not going to have any influence on the choice of the pairwise combinations.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So what kind of random effects are in there?
You have to say, well, each subject here will have different biological condition, biological groups, and each subject is a random representative of its own population. So the theta is a mean of these biological groups, and you have a random intercept representing subject-specific variation from this group mean. That's what it is. So subjects are random. Yes?
What would be the difference?
Sorry. Is the question answered?
So you don't have any array effects in there?
Not here. I just try to keep things simple.
The one color, this is zero.
It is an array. When you do the analysis, you have array effects as well, but not for the optimal design purposes. I didn't consider that.
I was a little bit curious about the optimal design you occurred, because this was not a connected graph. The very end.
No, it was right.
It was just for main effects.
It was just for main effects.
I mean, if I could perhaps make a comment there, the optimal design you had, I think, of doing a very classical thing and confounding A plus B with three blocks of three, and then making each block of three into a triangle.
Yeah.
Which you would do if you thought the interactions were zero.
Yes, that's the main effect, exactly. Yeah. Sorry.
What would be the difference between a one-color experiment and a two-color one, where the difference was used, sort of?
Yes, well, that's something I forgot to mention. It's in the abstract. This is especially valid for studies involving class comparison, where the direct comparisons are known to be more efficient, right, without the reference. Since that I'm looking at efficiencies, and that was my criterion, I didn't use the reference, which is usually more expensive as well, because you have double as many arrays necessary. If your objective is class discovery, where the absolute gene expression is actually of greater interest, then this might not apply anymore. Okay, but that's something of further investigation. Is it answered? No.
So you no. Well, I was surprised when you said you needed double the number of arrays. I thought, but that's a technical.
Well, you spend one. Not the array of. You have a group, a reference group, that you are not interested at all. Right. That's the point, and you are spending money in that. Mm. Yes.
I think at most one more question, sir.
I think my question is perhaps connected to Reiner's. I can't understand how these surely these epsilons are different, because in the one colour, the epsilon represents array-to-array variation, but in the two colour, surely that should be cancelled out, so it just represents variation between the different samples in the same array.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly so. So you see, what's held constant is the variation at the level of the subject, right? So these variants here.
But it's the other one, the sigma e squared. I can't see how that can be the same in both.
Well, this what do you mean, this one here?
It seems to be this, that the one color, it should include array to array variation, but in the second one it doesn't.
This one is the is the sum of the errors. You are putting both of can you maybe ask the question again? Explain your explanation.
Okay. I think that I will ask you to defer that one until after the discussion. But let's thank Valeria again.